listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome everybody. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the homosexual activist movement. We have just been labeled officially a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, but we're in good company. We've got the group that my guest, Dave Smith, of Illinois Family Institute, his group has made it. We've got Family Research Council and a number of other pro-family organizations have all been labeled hate groups by this left-wing outfit known as the Southern Poverty Law Center, which sort of has a very big echo chamber of people that take its ridiculous assertions seriously. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, let me welcome our guest, Dave Smith, a longtime friend of mine. Dave is the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute, where I used to work. In fact, I think I hired you, Dave, didn't I?
You hired me, and I had the pleasure of learning from the best on these issues.
Yeah, well, it's too late to suck up to me now, Dave. Anyways, before we get going, I want to make one clarification. We said in the last show, and by the way, our third part of our interview with Barb Anderson will be next week. I'm pre-recording with Dave on Wednesday the 8th. This interview will air on a Saturday. The third part of our interview with Barb Anderson will be coming next week. She had a scheduling conflict, so we'll do that next week. But I'm very happy to have Dave on. He's an accomplished pro-family activist. And the clarification I want to make is when I was joking with Barb Anderson, I said, I'm not a homophobe. I'm homo-nauseated. They're everywhere. And the Southern Poverty Law Center and various gay militants and bloggers cited the use of the word homo-nauseated as evidence of our so-called hate. And that's a term, I don't even know who made it up, but it's obviously a play on the word homophobe, which has been leveled at people like Dave Smith and myself and Matt Barber and Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council. If you oppose homosexuality publicly, you are a homophobe. And we say, well, we don't fear anything. We're not phobes. We're actually nauseated. And my reference was to the gay activism. When I said they're everywhere, I mean the gay activists. They're everywhere, and their work is everywhere. You can't turn on the TV set without, you know, the noblest character on the show is always gay, and it just gets so tiresome. The propaganda is ubiquitous. It's in our schools, and it's the activism that people are nauseated by. Obviously, people deal with homosexuals all the time, but it's the in-your-face activism is what I was referring to, and it is something that it troubles a lot of people. Dave, I'm sure you're a little bit tired of it.
I am actually tired of the media that continually labels us as anti-gay, as if we hate the person. See, they identify us as anti-gay, and the public is led to believe that we're against the person. In fact, we are against the political agenda, the social agenda of the homosexual movement. It is not the person that we hate. We hate their politics.
Yeah, if we hated the people, Dave, why would we want them to change and accept Christ
right.
All the things? I mean, you know, let me just tell a little story, Dave. We had our Truth Academy recently outside Chicago, and there was a spy there for Wayne Beeson, who's a notorious gay activist. And this spy's name was Eric. You know, it was obvious he was sort of not one of the people there. He was recording, and we told him to stop. And Eric, he was not treated hatefully. In fact, there are numerous people, including Lori Higgins, who works with you at Illinois Family Institute, who talked with him and, you know, reasoned with him. They heard his story. They listened to his his life as a person who is practicing homosexuality. He considers himself gay. And we went out to dinner with him. You know, there, if we were a bunch of haters, as the other side says, why would we, you know, just have a good time having a conversation with somebody who's diametrically opposed to our agenda? And Dave, I know you're the same way. I've seen you. You've probably, I'm certain, have prayed for people, gay activists who you disagree with, and you've interacted with them. You're not a hateful person.
No, in fact, I have some relatives that self-identify as being gay, and they're in my prayers often. It's a heavy burden on my heart. Yes.
So you can disagree without hating somebody. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Absolutely.
You know, your work at Illinois Family Institute is very important, and we have a lot to talk about with the passage of this civil unions bill. But before I get to that, Dave, describe what the Illinois Family Institute is, what its mission is, where you're located, et cetera.
My quick descriptive message about IFI is that we are a nonprofit, and we try to bring a biblical perspective to public policy. And we try to do that on two fronts, in the state legislature in Springfield, and then we have a whole division of school advocacy, and we try to expose what's going on in our public schools, the godless indoctrination, the ideology that is being taught and promoted in our schools. And, of course, as you mentioned, Lori Higgins heads up the division of school advocacy.
Yeah, and you guys do some excellent work, and the website is illinoisfamily.org, by the way. That's illinoisfamily.org. We always link to it at Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.org. And Dave, how long have you been at IFI?
Actually, I'm 7 years now, Pete.
Wow. Time does fly.
Right.
You have now how many children, Dave?
I have 5 children.
Okay, so we both have 5 kids. Between the two of us, we can form a baseball team.
Well, yes, that's right.
Almost a football team, right?
That's right. Well, you want a quarterback or out of safety or whatever you want to do? Yeah, we can play then.
Well, I'm afraid my athletic skills are waning at this point. But Dave, IFI is the leading pro-family group in the state of Illinois, especially on issues. I mean, you do a lot of pro-life work, but you're really the main group fighting and opposing the homosexual activist lobby in the
right.
state of Illinois.
Right.
You do lobbying in Springfield.
Right.
And just recently we saw the passage in a lame duck session of the so-called civil unions bill. Tell us, first of all, summarize what happened there.
Well, Pete, going into this session now, first of all, there's each legislative session is a two-year period, and after an election, which happened on November 2nd, the lawmakers come back to town, those who have been defeated or those who are retiring, to finish out the session. And they had 6 days this year, 3 days before Thanksgiving, 3 days right after Thanksgiving, to finish up their work. Now, prior to this, this bill, I'm going to go back a little bit, Peter. This bill was originally introduced by Greg Harris as a compromise bill. Now, Representative Greg Harris is an openly gay state lawmaker from Chicago. He originally introduced a bill calling for gay marriage, the full thing, the full enchilada. Shortly after that, he introduced this so-called compromise bill, which is Senate Bill 1716. It's the one that finally passed on the last day of the veto session. But he introduced this compromise bill because the original bill was not going anywhere. They copied verbatim the marriage statute of Illinois, and instead of calling it a marriage act, they called it a civil union act. In fact, shortly after he introduced that bill, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch brought attention to the fact that the word marriage in the civil unions bill mentioned 20-some times. I can't remember the exact number. I think it was 21 times the word marriage was used.
Dave, hold on. In the next segment, we'll get the I think the call waiting is making the phone beep. So you had said
yes.
It mentions again the St. Louis Post-Dispatch?
Yeah, highlighted the fact that the word marriage was mentioned 21 times in the civil unions bill. So, they
so it's gay. We're talking gay marriage by another name. They knew they couldn't get the gay marriage bill. So they call it civil unions, but it's pretty much, you said it's the verbatim marriage statute?
That's right. He did go back in, amended it, so he took a lot of those words out. But, Peter, despite the fact that he amended it and sanitized it a little bit with some of the words being removed, the fact of the matter is this piece of legislation redefines what it means to be spouse and family. Okay, partners in a civil union will be considered, according to this bill, spouse and family.
That's just incredible, and it's and this was pushed. Now, talk about we got a minute 30, Dave. This lame duck session. You have a lot of people. The Springfield, although we didn't experience the change that some other states did in this tremendously important Republican landslide, there was still progress, and the new legislature, the new General Assembly, next time around, beginning in January, would be far more conservative and pro-family. Correct.
That's right. Well, I wouldn't say far more, but it picked up at least six new seats in the House that should be more family-friendly.
And so they wanted to ram this through now while they had the chance.
That's right. And the fact of the matter is the veto session has really killed us because out of the 17 lame duck lawmakers in the House, 14 of them voted for this bill.
Oh.
14 of the 17.
And these are people who will not have to face their constituents because they're on their way out.
There is no political ramifications for them any longer.
So they know that they've got this opportunity, and they ram it through. You guys made an immense effort. And, I mean, I want to talk about all you did, Dave, but I want to commend you for working hard. Down in Springfield, you're working with Linda Jernigan, who we've had on this show, a former lesbian, who is now a Christian, who's helping others to get out of the lifestyle. We're talking to Dave Smith of the Illinois Family Institute. He's a friend of mine. I worked with him. He's doing great work in Illinois. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. Make a donation at AmericansForTruth.org. We'll be right back in a minute. Welcome, everybody, back to the Americans for Truth Hour. This is Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a single-issue group devoted to opposing the homosexual activist movement. We're talking to my friend Dave Smith, who's the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute, based in South Chicago. Right, Dave?
Yes, we are in our office is in Will County, just south of I-80.
And your website is illinoisfamily.org. Dave, how long are you a lifelong Illinois resident?
I am. I was born and raised in Chicago. My dad was a Chicago firefighter. I went to the finest Chicago public schools.
Dave, I don't know if that commends you, that part. But
well, it would explain why I make so many typos in my articles that I write.
Now, what about, and then you went and you graduated from the University of Illinois, Chicago?
I did, right. It's also known as Circle Campus, UIC, with a political science degree, right.
And they're known for their conservatism, right, Dave?
They are not. They actually... They hired Bill Ayers, for goodness sake.
Oh, boy. You know, he's such a great guy. You know, boy.
Dear Lord.
Wow. Well, Dave has done tremendous work. And, Dave, you were the leading group. You had how many lobbyists down in Springfield? I mean, you have some permanent lobbyists, right? But you also were down.
Yeah, we have two contract lobbyists. And then, of course, we encourage lay people, regular moms and dads, to pastors and churchgoers from across the state of Illinois to go down and lobby as well as they have opportunity to do.
Right. And, of course, this was on the radar for a long time, the civil unions bill. We know exactly what's going on. We have tried to pass a marriage referendum in the state of Illinois. Dave, you and I worked on that.
That's
put
right.
a lot of hours in. Some of the listeners will recall, there's not a real amendment process for marriage in Illinois, so we tried to pass an advisory referendum, which would have advised the Congress to pass a marriage amendment protecting marriages between one man and one woman. There's actually been that narrowly failed. And then
Pete, let me point out that Michael Madigan sent his top lawyer to oppose that, and they spent gobs of money trying to make sure that we did not get an advisory referendum question on the ballot back in 2006. They went all out to the floor, to the mat, if you will, to make sure that question did not appear on the ballot.
Right. And that's because they knew they would lose. They knew that Illinois citizens would vote overwhelmingly. I don't know what the percentage to expect would be for that marriage thing. And they wanted to keep it off the ballot. And I remember Rick Garcia, who's sort of the...
lobbyist for Equality Illinois.
Yeah, he's the chief gay lobbyist. He's actually from St. Louis. He came over to Chicago. I remember Rick. He's a funny guy. He referred to the bathhouses in Chicago, these anonymous sex clubs. He called them health clubs.
Well,
that's the kind of health that the gay community could probably use less of because it's killing people. But anyways, let's get to the situation here. You had the civil unions bill. You knew it was coming, and there was the vote where there was slight progress for conservatives and for pro-family people in Springfield. But lo and behold, you got word that the civil unions push was going to come in the veto session, which is only lasts for what, a couple of weeks, Dave?
The veto session was 6 days.
6 days. Okay, so you knew it was coming. You had the all-out effort. Tell us the story of what happened. You thought you had enough votes to hold it off.
Well, going into the veto session, our count was they only had 52 yay votes. Now, that's they need 60 to pass it in the House. They needed 60. And so going into this, our count was they were short. They're short. But we worked diligently despite the fact, because we identified quite a few lawmakers, I'll just say 15 lawmakers in the House that we were concerned about, that we wanted to make sure we fully educated and fully expressed our concerns about this this potential bill being passed. And so we did that. We spent the whole time, the 6 days, talking, and between those 6 days, we talked to over 50 lawmakers and expressed our concern about this bill. But the fact of the matter is, we could not out-leverage, with common sense, the power that was brought to bear by Michael Madigan, the Speaker of the House, Pat Quinn, the Governor of the State of Illinois. It's conjecture to say this, Pete, but the fact of the matter is, stuff was promised, deals were made, and enough of the lawmakers, 61 total votes, were cast in favor of this bill. People that should have never voted for this bill voted for this bill for very sinister reasons. I won't name names, but...
Yeah, let's not name names, Dave, but talk about... what I'm fascinated by is the fact that you had people who you were counting on, solid pro-family votes, and they capitulated like cowards because they were promised some political benefit or maybe some financial benefit to their district. Talk about that. What happened? Give me without naming names, tell me what happened. And I mean, you must have been devastated.
I can tell you one particular lawmaker from the inner city would have never voted for this bill, but she had a bill that she's been working on for years, something that's been a pet project of her. From what I understand, she was promised that Michael Madigan would get behind this bill and push it through, and that she would be able to realize her pet project. And so, but all she had to do was vote for this bill. So it was political log rolling, if you will. You vote for my bill, I will help you pass your bill.
Right. Now let's back up. That was I think I know who you're talking about. We're talking in the city of Chicago.
Right.
And there was tremendous African-American opposition to the civil unions bill. The fact is, as I'm experiencing just by my experience, blacks oppose gay marriage stronger than whites. I mean, I've never run into an African-American, especially a pastor, a Christian, who knows what the bill is about, who's for it. I mean, so there was a lot of opposition expressed from the city of Chicago.
Absolutely, positively. There were, in fact, the first day of the veto session, there were 15 black pastors that came down to Chicago from Chicago to Springfield to lobby. And I know they had an impact. In fact, another inner-city lawmaker told me, I don't want to have black preachers mad at me in my district. And unfortunately, she did vote for this bill in the end anyway.
Now, tell us some of the other wheeler-dealing, David. What else was going on there? And Madigan is probably the most powerful person maybe out. Well, now Quinn, him and Quinn are equally as powerful, do you think, in the state of Illinois?
No, Michael Madigan still has all the legislative power and an ability to stop or to send legislation through. Quinn does not have that power. So though Quinn, I'm sure, the longer he sits in the governor's chair, will accrue some power. But
Michael Madigan is a Catholic.
Ironically, the entire leadership is, Irish Catholic. We got Michael Madigan, we got Quinn, and we've got John Cullerton in the Senate.
And tell us what the Catholic Church did. The Illinois Catholic Conference issued a wonderful statement opposing this legislation.
That's right. The Catholic Conference, Bob Gilligan and Zach Wickman down in Springfield, the lobbyists that represent the Catholic Conference, did a fantastic job working this bill in opposition. Cardinal George issued a great press release right before Thanksgiving, emphasizing the Catholic teaching on this, on homosexuality, and expressing their concern about what's going to happen with religious freedom and their ability to live or have parachurch organizations live by the church's doctrine. Did a wonderful job. But despite that, far too many of our lawmakers in Springfield, including Catholics, failed to heed his press release.
Yeah, well, and this is a problem that's specific to base politicians in general. You know, we have up in Capitol Hill, we have Senator Lieberman, who professes to be an Orthodox Jew, leading the charge or, enthusiastically backing pro-homosexual legislation in various areas. I mean, this is a problem. You don't have to really single out any religion or denomination. The politicians think they're smarter than God. They find ways to rationalize supporting pro-homosexual legislation, pro-abortion legislation. And in fact, Dave, Governor Quinn, Pat Quinn, a Catholic, a reporter asked him if there would be a problem, if he had a problem supporting this bill because of his religion, and he appeared pretty upset and saying, no, he's not going to have any pangs of conscience in supporting this pro-homosexual civil unions bill.
Well, that's because too many Christians are what you call cafeteria Christians. They pick and choose what they want from the salad theology, the salad bar of theology, and then they sprinkle in their own humanistic worldview in that. And unfortunately, Scripture is the final authority. That's it. That's the only place we find it. And Scripture is plainly clear on the issue of homosexuality. Government should not be officially recognizing it, and Pat Quinn should feel pangs of anxiety because he has gone against the authority of Scripture.
But instead, he led the charge. He took it up as a way to get elected. He threw that bone to his gay base. And then he followed through by lobbying with Mike Madigan, and the two of them should be ashamed of themselves. But that's the farthest thing they're feeling right now.
Well, he was even on the floor of of both the House and the Senate. The House passed this bill on November 30th. He came in while the floor debate was going on the floor. That's highly unusual. The governor's not usually there when they're debating bills, but he came on the floor of the House during that time. And the very next day, the same thing happened when the Senate was debating the bill. He came on the floor in the Senate and, again, showing that he is highly interested, highly invested in this piece of legislation. And so there you go.
Illinois' problems, Dave, we're a bankrupt state, can't pay our bills.
That's right.
We have no money. And our new governor, our new Democratic governor, is down on the floor lobbying for civil unions legislation. How pathetic is that?
And some of our state senators who spoke out against this bill brought that very issue up.
The money factor, because it will cost taxpayers money, right?
That is right. That's correct.
Okay, Dave, we've got two more segments here. We're talking to Dave Smith of the Illinois Family Institute. The website is illinoisfamily.org. That's illinoisfamily.org. Sign up for their updates. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back with Dave Smith.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We are a weekly radio show. We bring you frontline warriors in the fight for decency and truth and marriage and the culture. I'm talking to Dave Smith, who's done wonderful work with the Illinois Family Institute. Very, very active. He's done a lot in Illinois. He's reached a lot of people, but the truth was not enough to stop the pro-gay juggernaut that came down here in Illinois and ended up with passage of the Civil Unions Bill, which is really just gay marriage by another name. Dave, the end game here, let's be clear, is so-called gay marriage. They see this as a stepping stone. The homosexual activists are not satisfied with so-called civil unions.
No. In fact, I don't know if gay marriage is the end game either. All I know is that they do not want us, you and me, or churches, or religious organizations, anyone, objecting to their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And they will go to any extent to make sure that we are censored or intimidated into silence.
Absolutely, Dave. That's part of the demonization campaign that the SPLC launched against both our organizations and others. You know, they're all about discrediting opposition to homosexuality, and they're really saying that there is no legitimate opposition to homosexuality. And the SPLC talks a good game, saying that's not going to it's not talking about religious opposition, biblical opposition to homosexuality. But when you proscribe various means of opposing homosexuality, including discrediting the idea that people can leave the lifestyle, then really what you're doing is you're discrediting religious opposition to homosexuality. Dave, we both have met many ex-gays.
Right.
They're out there. They're not suffering people. They're happy. They're content. They once considered themselves gay, like Linda. And now they don't. Now, tell me about how was the effect of Linda down there, Linda Jernigan, the former lesbian. What was the effect when these legislators would meet her?
Right. Well, she lived the lifestyle. Linda Jernigan lived the lifestyle for 19 years, and she has been out of the lifestyle for 10. Now she has a ministry reaching out to those who have unwanted same-sex attraction. She went down for all 6 days. She went with me. She took the time out of her busy schedule to make sure she was down there. She was very concerned about this bill. We prayed that the Lord would give us an audience with as many of these on-the-fence lawmakers as possible. And the Lord answered that prayer. We met with over 50 lawmakers, Peter. And the fact of the matter is not all of them were on the fence, but some of them even were on our side. But it was telling to me, you know, we bumped into Senator so-and-so in the hallway. I wanted to shake his hand and say, hey, by the way, here's Linda Jernigan. I wanted to introduce you to her, have Linda tell her story so they could hear her testimony. And Peter, this is what was astounding to both me and Linda. Out of the 50 lawmakers, only two, Peter, only two had ever heard of an ex-gay before.
Right.
None of them heard of an ex-gay community. Didn't know there were hundreds of thousands of these people now living healthy, normal lives away from this dangerous homosexual behavior.
But Dave, isn't that because the media is the shield here?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, after the civil unions vote, the Tribune came out with a headline about how Illinois voters have changed their attitudes on gay rights. I mean, the equation seems pretty simple. You pound the citizens with one side of a very controversial issue. Ultimately, things change, and then you say, wow, look at everybody's attitudes have changed. The media is completely dishonest on this issue. They don't talk about ex-gays. When they do, often it's to discredit them, or they do it in the context of what homosexual activists would like us to think.
Right.
Let these people speak for themselves.
Right.
Put them in a movie so we see a happy ex-gay like Linda. She's a wonderful person. We've interviewed her on this show,
That's
but
right.
It's no wonder that nobody knows about them.
Well, the goal was threefold. We wanted to raise awareness of ex-gays, which we did. That we did accomplish that. We wanted them to hear a personal testimony how Jesus Christ can change lives. So that was accomplished. Well, the third thing that we wanted to do was try to undermine the left's argument that it is that homosexuality is a civil right. Well, if we can demonstrate that this was in fact a changeable lifestyle, then guess what? It's not a civil right.
Absolutely.
Obviously,
there's no such thing as an ex-black or an ex-Hispanic. There are many ex-gays. It's about behavior.
You know, which actually brings up another point, Peter. On the floor of the House during debate, Corrine Gordon, who was one of the lame duck lawmakers I was talking about from Morris, Illinois, got up and advocated for this bill, arguing Loving versus Virginia, where you know, at one point in our society, we outlawed interracial marriage. And then she equated it with the whole civil rights movement and Martin Luther King. And what was so frustrating to me, sitting in the balcony, listening to this highly emotional and manipulative argument, was where is the black lawmakers in this body, in this legislative body, getting up with indignancy, or even the Christian lawmakers, saying, how dare you? How dare you compare my moral beliefs to racism? And that's what she was doing.
Right. And Dave, they'd even heard from somebody who had changed, and some people who heard Linda's story and even who promised you or who had assured you either by your survey, because I know IFI puts out a survey and gets the positions of lawmakers on issues. They reneged on that commitment. How many people are we talking about, and what was the effect of you and Linda? You hear from these people, some of them even either directly stated or implied to you that they were opposed to civil unions, and then they cave at the end.
There was a number of them that were solid no's. I don't have a number right in front of me, but there must have been at least six or seven of them who were no's to us face-to-face one day, and then the next day. And in fact, I'm remembering one of my state lawmakers down in Will County who looked at me the day of a vote, that, pending, you know, before the vote, saying to me, I'm struggling with this. And it was like, are you joking? What happened to your solid no vote, and all of a sudden you're struggling with this? And he said to me, they're stepping on my neck and they're twisting my arm. And I'm like, holy smoke.
Yeah.
That's when I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah, and this is Madigan using his power. And, you know, Dave, what can the citizens do about it? I mean, and talk a little. Well, first of all, what's the next step? I mean, you're looking at all your options here. But, I mean, you've got to get you need honest lawmakers with integrity. I'm thinking of Tom Morrison, the new guy out of where's Tom representing, Dave?
Palatine area.
Palatine, Illinois. Tom Morrison has already said he's not going to take a pension.
That's right. He made news. He's putting pressure on his colleagues. He is going to Springfield to serve the people, not to be served. And he said, no, you know, I will not take a pension from the people of Illinois. And most of your listeners know, Illinois has a serious pension problem. It is unsustainable. The amount of money the state is spending on retirement benefits to those who serve the state for 20 years.
Now, Dave, talk about the people who did stand up, and they often cited the financial costs. Why would we incur greater financial costs? And this civil unions bill allows heterosexuals also to get in a civil union. Is that correct, Dave?
That is correct. Well, let me start by telling you who stood up. In the House, it was disappointing, Peter. We only had two pro-family lawmakers have the courage to stand up in opposition and speak out against this bill. And that's Representative Ron Stevens, a Republican from Highland, Illinois, that's downstate, and Representative David Rice, a Republican from Olney, Illinois, which is also downstate. They were the only two in the House.
Okay, hold on, Dave. You're telling me two people. Here you got this bill. It's been on the radar for years and years,
yep.
And the time comes, and only two men have the courage to stand up and oppose the bill.
That's correct.
That is pathetic, and it's actually an indictment. I'm saying this. You don't have to say it. It's an indictment of Tom Cross's leadership. Tom Cross is the House Republican minority leader in the House. What's his title? His exact title,
Dave? He's the minority leader.
Minority leader. Come on, Tom. I mean, Tom voted against the bill.
Yes.
But where's the leadership? Republicans are supposed to be the pro-family party, and an anemic two people stand up against civil unions?
And to make it more aggravating, there was two Republicans who stood up and spoke in favor of this bill. and seven Democrats. So there
is that
nine,
in the House?
Yes, in the House. There were nine that stood up and vote and spoke in favor of this bill.
Okay, and then on the Senate side, we had Senator Dan Rutherford, who is now the new treasurer, newly elected treasurer of Illinois.
Right. He was the only Republican that stood up and spoke in favor of this bill. But let me run down the list. It was better in the Senate. We had seven pro-family state senators standing up to speak against this bill. And to start it off, it was Senator Chris Lawson, a Republican from Aurora, Senator Dan Duffy, a Republican from Barrington, a new state senator, Kyle McCarter, from a Republican from Decatur, Senator John Jones, a Republican from Mount Vernon, Senator Tim Bivens, a Republican from Dixon, that's Ronald Reagan's old hometown, State Senator David Severson, a Republican from Rockford, and State Senator William Hain, a Democrat from Alton.
Now, there's a guy with some guts, I mean, given the status of the Democratic Party.
That's right.
And, okay, Dave, talk about this financial argument quick. We got a minute and 30 to the break.
Well, just quickly, this actually gives citizens of Illinois a legal loophole to basically defraud their pension companies or even the state of Illinois. For example, if you're a widow and you're collecting your husband's pension and you want to have a relationship with a new gentleman in your life, but don't want to get married because you lose your pension that you got, well, now you can enter into the civil union where you'll still be recognized by the state and have all these other, you know, benefits conferred upon you, but you will not lose your pension.
And that's crazy, Dave.
It's going to cost the state of Illinois, plus, you know, with the civil unions and the state benefits and the state pensions, at least $30 million extra dollars a year to dole out these new benefits.
Right, and we're talking about when does this take place, Dave?
Well, the law will be signed into effect in January, but will not actually go into effect until July 1st.
Right. So we're talking about a whole new era now where we'll have the government of Illinois officially behind homosexual, not just as a civil right, but as the basis for a stable relationship. And that's got to undermine real marriage. Right, Dave?
That's right. It certainly does.
Because when you honor and give financial incentives to the artificial, you're undermining the real.
That's right.
The problem. It's like counterfeit money. Honor the counterfeit, you're undermining real money. We'll be right back with Dave Smith. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to David Smith, who's giving us a report on this awful civil unions vote in Illinois, where gay marriage by another name called civil unions has passed after strong-arm tactics by House Speaker Mike Madigan and the governor, Pat Quinn, the newly elected governor. And Dave, okay, so you gave it your all. You guys talked to a lot of people. What's next? What's next on this issue in your view?
Well, without a doubt, we need to have political payback. Now, Illinois Family Institute can't get involved politically, but we have a sister organization called Illinois Family Action, and you can Google that and find that on the web. But Illinois Family Action is our political arm. We need and we will be reminding and beating this drum, reminding the citizens and the voters of Illinois of this vote. This vote will not diminish. One of the things Michael Madigan is counting on is that in 2 years, in the next election, voters will have forgotten about this outrageous push for gay marriage in Illinois. We will not allow that. We will remember this. And the second thing is we've got to recruit people. Good people all across the state of Illinois have got to stand up and run for these offices and take on this machine that just neglects to heed the voice of we the people.
Hey, Dave, I forgot to mention that Madigan has been stifling. He's stopped a actual marriage amendment that is the way to explain how the marriage amendment process works and how he's kept that from a vote. Here he rushes. You know, he'll do anything for the homosexual activist movement, but he has buried an existing constitutional amendment which would allow the people of Illinois to vote on marriage to protect marriages between a man and a woman, has been done in over, 30 states now?
That's correct. Well, and Peter, you might want to talk about in just a second here about Tim Gill's influence in the state. But yes, you're right. 30 states have had the opportunity to vote on a marriage referendum question, a binding question that would amend their state constitutions to say that marriage is only the union of one man and one woman. The other 20 states that are left do not have the easy process of just presenting this question to the people on a ballot. There is in Illinois, we have the difficult process of actually having to pass a constitutional amendment out of the House of Representatives, out of the Illinois Senate by a two-thirds majority, so we need 60% votes in both spots, and then it needs to go over to the people of Illinois for a binding vote from them, and then it goes back to the Illinois General Assembly for yet another vote to be amended to the state constitution. So it is an extremely difficult process to amend our state constitution in Illinois.
Well, Dave, play the opposition hat for a second. How do you think the homosexual activists are going to try to set up gay marriage? You think they're going to try to get it voted on, a bill in the assembly? I mean,
It's already been introduced. It's been introduced for 4 years. It's just it's too politically hot for them to try to push it now. I if I was a betting man, I would say that they're going to wait just a couple years
and then push again.
Have a couple. Civil unions be dissolved, and by the way they dissolve these civil unions is the same exact way a marriage gets divorced, and then they're going to file a lawsuit and say, well, either one of two things. Look, marriage, civil unions are dissolved the same way. This is marriage, you know, and demand a court recognize that civil unions is separate but unequal, and declare gay marriage in Illinois. If I was a betting man, they're going to go through the courts and try to get this done.
Yeah, and as we've seen in other states, they often get people from out of state who move in and say, we want to recognize, not as a civil union. This bill recognizes an out-of-state so-called gay marriage as a civil union, but they may contest in the courts for it to be recognized as a marriage.
That's right.
Now, Dave, really quickly, before we get to the end here, we got 5 minutes left. So, Madigan, that marriage amendment is sitting there. It has been sitting there like an old jalopy in a junkyard for what, 5 years now?
Actually, it's been longer than that. I think David Rice, the state representative from Olney, and formerly State Senator Bill Brady, both had introduced this legislation in the last two general assemblies. But it, like you said, Michael Madigan gets to say what piece of legislation moves, what piece of legislation just dies. And where it's assigned, by the way, where the bill is assigned to be in committee, to be heard, also is is another way that Michael Madigan could kill legislation.
He's got the power, Dave. He's got the power to get it done, and he's working for the homosexual lobby, and shame on him. There was a beautiful statement by the Catholic Church on this bill, and you know he's above. I guess he's above the dictates of his own faith tradition, and he's a power in his own right. But you know what? When it comes down to the scheme of things, he's a very little man. This is nothing to be proud of what he's done. And this is not a civil rights achievement, Dave.
No. And I have my suspicions, too, though, that Tim Gill, as I mentioned earlier, who is a multimillionaire gay activist who comes into states and funds these type of initiatives, has been involved in Illinois. I know for a fact that in this election cycle, he gave more than $20,000 to the Illinois State Democratic Party, and I know he's funded at least two different candidates with $5,000 each.
Yeah.
I think that is compelling to Michael Madigan. And
money talks, Dave, and the homosexual activists have a lot of money. They try to equate themselves in some way with the black civil rights movement, but it's like night and day.
The gay community does not have the grassroots votes, but they do have the money.
Yeah, they got the money. And Dave, there's some I want to mention briefly. This is me here speaking, not you, but Dan Rutherford, the lone guy in the Senate. He stood up and voted for the bill.
Right.
Dan Rutherford, he represents.
He not only stood up and voted for it, but he talked in favor in support of the bill.
And he represents a conservative rural district. Is that correct?
Well, he did. Now he represents us all as Illinois treasurer, as he's going to be sworn in within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and when I was at IFI as an executive director prior to you, Dave, I tried to, you know, many people suspect that Rutherford himself is a homosexual. I've got good evidence on that. Somebody actually came up to me and said that she had met Rutherford's partner. his gay partner. And so, you know, we tried to say, look, truth in labeling. If you're gay, you can run as a gay Republican. You know, be honest. Don't try to hide it. Instead, he just dissembled the whole time, and he never really, you know, he led people to believe that he was not a homosexual. And lo and behold, he cast a vote for this radical civil unions legislation. And it's just another chapter. And it's another reason why we're saying, you know, the gay Republican movement is not good for the party, Dave. You can't be pro-family and pro-homosexual at the same time.
Well, you can't undermine the Republican platform and be a good Republican. They should be censored. These guys should be censored by censured by the Republican Party of Illinois. But there's a dearth of leadership there as well.
Right. Well, Dave, talk about the good things here. I mean, you're going forward. There is a tremendous support for marriage in the state. We got a minute and 30. This is going to energize people to support marriage in the state.
Yes, you know, going forward, we're going to figure out what we're going to do to plant a flag and rally around it. And the flag, of course, is going to be marriage. But there's a lot of meetings coming up here, and there is going to be a strategy that comes out of this. People want tangible way to respond to this. And, you know, like I said, if we don't take some political scalps in 2012 because of this very vote, then we might as well just forget it and let the state of Illinois go to the dogs.
Yeah, Dave, you know, and let's get back to just our faith. You know, you're a Christian. We stand for the truth. And, you know, politics is disappointing sometimes. There was a time when we thought the life issue, the pro-life issue, we were hurting. Now look at it. So there's nothing that says this can't be reversed in the future. And I commend you for doing all you can to do that. You got 30 seconds, Dave. Just thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Peter, very much.
Well, Dave, you know, I commend the Illinois Family Institute and all the work you did and Linda Jernigan down there in Springfield. It's not easy work. You did a great job, even though the dirty politics of the Democratic Party mainly and some sellout Republicans led to defeat. Folks, contact the Illinois Family Institute at illinoisfamily.org. Go to our website, americansfortruth.org. Support us in our work and don't be discouraged. Go out there and stand for marriage. Thank you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.